he spoke to me about this. It's a very powerful message on Ziklag, and he said, "I want you to speak about Ziklag." And Ziklag is a very interesting place. David, as you know, when he slew Goliath, he was in the height of his glory, and the people saw the anointing come upon him, and so much so that Saul became so jealous of him as a king, so jealous of the anointing of God that was on his life, that Saul, you know, he threw that javelin at him. And David spent 12, 13 years running from Saul, from caves and dens. He never had a home. The people who joined him were the disgruntled, those that are in debt. I mean, the outcast of Israel, that was his mighty men. You know, that's how he started. God gave him 600 men, but they're all indebted, disgruntled, outcast. I mean, they all joined him, you know. The outcast joined the outcast. And so they're all they're doing for 13 years is wandering around running from Saul. And twice God gave David the opportunity to take Saul's life. Twice. He was given his hand, and David would not put his hand to Saul. He wouldn't do it. He cut his skirt off one time. He stole his spear another time, but he would not take his life. And each time Saul would repent, but then he'd go right back, that spirit on him. See, you can have the spirit of God on you, and then you can have the devil on you. Amen? And you got to know the difference, hallelujah, because some people don't know the difference. And Saul would go back to that anger. And so he'd run around with David, just that final time that God gave David the opportunity to take Saul's life, he just couldn't do it. And so David said, look, I'm going to die at this guy's hands one day because I'm not taking his life. He left the land of Israel. God told him to stay, but he didn't. He left. And he went into the land of Philistines. He went into Gath, and he made a league with King Achish. And it's kind of interesting because that's where he slew Goliath. Goliath was of Gath. And he went to the Philistine king, and he just ran from Israel. He said, look, I got to get out. How many of you have ever been there before? You just want to run. You got to go find a home somewhere. You got to find a dwelling place. Sometimes the storms get so tough, you don't know how to escape. God was trying to teach David to escape into him, but David just got weary and he's tired, and he just left Israel, and he went into the land of the Philistines, and that's where King Achish gave him this city called Ziklag. He gave it to him. This was the first time, really, David had any place to call his own. He would give it a whole city, him and his 600 men, because all they did for 12, 13 years is wander around, homeless. They would just go from place to place to place, and David, even though he was outside of the borders that God had assigned to him, he found this place. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes when you go through enough warfare, you just find a comfortable spot and you set up camp. How many of you have ever done that before? You get to go through so much and it's like, I got to find me a comfortable spot. It's not where God wants me to be, but it's where I want to be. And sometimes we choose the creature comfort. And that's where David, he settled. And as far as David was concerned, he just quit. I mean, King David, mighty King David, he just quit. And he settled in the land of Gath at the city of Ziklag. And as far as he's concerned, he's going to raise his family there. He was going to live there. In fact, he got so far over, he was going to go to war with the Philistines against Israel. And he was there to go to war. And him and King Achish, he was a Philistine king, they connected. They loved each other. I don't understand the dynamic of that, how David could fall. But sometimes when you get outside too far, you lose it. You lose discernment. And sometimes you think you're comfortable, but what's happening in that land of comfort, that it might be, it's what I call miserably comfortable. Amen? Because you're not where God wants you. But at the same time, you wanting to settle. And that's where David was. He's wanting to settle. As far as he's concerned, I'm just done with all this. I'm done with Saul. I'm done with religion. I'm done with all this seeking God. I mean, think about this. This guy was anointed. He slew the lion and the bear with his bare hands. He slew Goliath in front of a whole nation. He was anointed by Samuel to be king. And none of it would happen. That happens sometime when you carry the anointing, when you carry the glory on your life. It happens sometime. To where it's not working out for you. That everything God has said, I'm going to take you into a week. 1 week. There was a divine plan that spanned 1 week of time. Say 1 week. Where God shifted kingdoms. And shifted David. out of a place that he was really in a backslidden place and shifted him all the way into his inheritance in 1 week. Say 1 week. Say 1 week. Listen, God can do a lot in 1 week. It doesn't matter if you're discouraged, because there's discouraged people in here. That God has spoken things to you and it's not happened. And sometimes you may be dislocated, disjointed, in disharmony. You might not even be in the right place right now. But God can shift you back. Amen. God can do a lot. Say 1 week. 1 week. For some, it might take 10 years, but for me, it's 1 week. I say, I want the 1 week plan. I want the 1 week plan. So David, he's so far gone now. He's in the land. Because you think when you're comfortable that, I've got this manufactured place of rest. Ziklag was the false rest, a counterfeit rest. But it was rest for David, but it was rest for his flesh. But it's a counterfeit place. Amen? But he was settling in a counterfeit of what God wanted. And he started settling in this city, and he got so far. See, when you settle, you let your guard down. When you let your guard down, your discernment comes down. You don't know it, but the enemy's trying to set you up big time. But all the guard's down, and it seems like, well, there's no battle. There's no war. So I sense this is just God. I'm tired of doing this, but what's happened, he's weakening you, and he's weakening the discernment. That's what was going on with David. So far that David was so far gone that he decided he's going to go to battle with King Achish against his own country. Saul, Israel, the Philistines were going to invade Israel, and the Philistine lords come up, and they see David. He said, is this not the guy that slew our Goliath, and you're taking him to battle with us? You know he's going to turn his hand. You know God's going to turn him. Right in the middle of the battle, he's going to come to his senses. And he's going to be fighting against you. He's not going. The Lord, they had it out with King Achish. He said, he is not going to battle with us because he's sure they're going to turn. And King Achish said, listen, David, I wanted you there because you're the covering of my own head. He knew the anointing was on David. He said, I'll be safe if you're next to me, but I can't have you go. You got to go back home. And David threw a fit. He wanted, because David's just a man of war. Sometimes when you fight, you just want to fight. Amen? Sometimes you're a man of war, you'll fight your own. It's not good. But that's where he was. Amen? Moving. So think about this. God loved David. God is not intimidated with your being mislocated. He's not intimidated by your disharmony. He's not intimidated with your runnings. Believe me, you're not the first one. He is not intimidated with the runnings of the church. He's not intimidated. You might be, but he's not. He's not intimidated when you're out of alignment. He's not even moved by it. God knows how to twist you right back into alignment. Amen? God was going to divinely orchestrate because the Philistines were coming against Israel. Saul had lost it a long time ago. He was God's unanointed king. And so they send David back home. That's where I want to pick it up. They send him back home to Ziklag. Well, when he sent back home, the Amalekites had raided his house while he's out hanging out with King Achish, and his wives were taken from him. I mean, this was the lowest place David had ever been. The absolute lowest that he'd ever been. And this is where I want to pick it up. This is the beginning of a 7-day shift. A 7-day shift that revolutionized not only David's life, but the entire nation of Israel and the entire world. What happened in that 7 days was a pivotal shift that created the greatest Old Testament kingdom that ever was. Give God glory. Hallelujah. So we're going to pick that up in 1 Samuel 30, because I feel the Spirit of the Lord come over me yesterday. He goes, listen, do not measure your life in what you have seen. In 7 days, I can birth an entire kingdom. In 7 days, I can shift kingdoms, tear down one, and build another one all in 7 days. And he's talking about national events. not just individual events. God can do it. Amen. You never know where you are. But God was divinely orchestrating something. Even that battle. Think about this. David comes into Ziklag and the whole city's been burned to the ground. He comes in. He sees his city and it's been burned to the ground. This is his city of rest. It was his counterfeit rest, but it was his rest. It's where he planted himself. His family was planted. His soldiers, his people, his men were planted. All of a sudden, nothing left. Burned to the ground. His wives were taken. Now, he has nothing. His men are looking at him and says, it's your fault, David. That's what happens when things are not going in the right direction. They're going to turn on the leader and said they were going to stone him. He said, all of this, David, is for you because we're following you and this God of yours. And you say he's supposed to do something, but all I've seen is destruction and famine and wandering and wilderness and caves and dens. But he had something in him. Amen. There was something inside him. The very lowest place. Everything had been burned. I mean, David, but God was divinely orchestrating. Because sometime in your very lowest place, in your deep brokenness, is when God makes the shift. It's in the depth of the brokenness that the shift makes. And David fell on his knees and he said, bring hither the ephod. Let us worship the Lord our God. He turned back to the Lord right there. When he made that turn, sometimes if he was comfortable, he wouldn't have made the shift. I tell people sometimes, I said, my enemies, my spiritual enemies, do more for me than anything else. Because when I get too comfortable, I can only grow at a certain level. But if the enemy comes hard at me, it elevates me. I mean, I'll take that storm that he brings, and it elevates me to places I can't get to. I don't want the storms. Believe me, I don't like them, but they can elevate you. If you allow the storm, it has a capacity to elevate your life. You're either going to get bitter or you're going to elevate. If you get bitter, you're going to run, you're going to stay bitter. But if you allow that brokenness to bring you into the union, restore the union, it'll elevate you. That's why in the midst of a storm, it's best that you don't listen to too many voices. Trust the Lord your God. Trust that voice you know. Even if you haven't felt him like David, he didn't know where he was. David knew his only recourse was to turn. He turned into God. He said, bring here the ephod. And the Spirit of God came on him. Amen. And when the Spirit of God came on him, whoa. He said, let's go and get it all back. And they went and invaded. I mean, the 600 men, 200 of them were so weak, they couldn't even go to battle. They were so undone. Sometimes you just get to the place where you're undone, and the anointing has to be carried by somebody else. But they went and they recovered everything. Not one was died among them. He recovered the wives, recovered the children, recovered all the possession. I mean, it was such an incredible spoil that David sent offerings to 14 different nations in Israel. The blessing of God came upon. Isn't that amazing? He turned him in one day's battle. He turned him from wanting to fight against Israel to sending offerings to all the elders of Israel. Isn't that amazing? One day turn like that. All that because of brokenness at Ziklag. I asked the Lord one time, I said, why'd you let his city get burned? He said, because it was not his inheritance. Listen, when something gets burned around your life, it might charbroil you to the nth degree. But if it's burning around you, it's because God is signifying this is not your inheritance. It might be your plan, but it's not my plan. Amen? And sometimes when we get engrossed into our plan, thinking it's God's plan, and it gets burned before our eyes, and we're left charbroiled with nothing. How many of you ever been there? Charbroiled with nothing. It's been burned. No, the God will never, ever allow your true inheritance to ever be burned. It can't. The true inheritance that comes from above can survive any flame. It can survive the heavenly flame. It can survive the earthly flame. Your inheritance from above cannot be taken from you. Amen. God allowed that city to be burned because that was not his city. Now, at the time, David's like seeing his whole life go up in flames. He's thinking God's not with him, but God was very much with him. And he put, and the anointing came upon him, and he recovered everything. But now he's here. He's back in the city that's been burned. Now he's here. But at the same time all this is going on, the Philistines are invading Saul. Now, Saul didn't have the anointing. Saul lost the anointing. So the covering come off of Israel. So the Philistines overcame Saul. And Saul and his son Jonathan died in that battle. In fact, Saul got hit with an arrow. And he's telling his armor bearer, fall on me because you know what they're going to do to me. And Saul fell on his own sword. It was an awful death. I mean, the Philistines had no mercy on him. They hung his body on the wall for everybody to look at. I mean, it was awful, but he was a wicked king. But God was orchestrating something new. Say new. This is something new. He was sitting there in Ziklag now. That one day's battle, now he's sitting there in Ziklag, and he's waiting 3 days. He waits 3 days in Ziklag, and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. Now watch this. This is powerful, because now God's coming into his next shift. He's shifting him out of the old. Now he's going about to shift him, and the whole nation's about to shift. Amen? Now he's shifting him into his God-ordained calling. I mean, think about it. One day ago, he has no city. He has no city. His wife's are taken. Everything's back. It's been restored. Now he's sitting in a burnt city. And he's saying, now what? Saul's dead. It looks like the nation of Israel is going to be taken over, but God has a plan. Everyone say, God has a plan. Think about this. God is about to use the man that just one day before was going to fight against his own people, and he's about to make him king. Never underestimate God's power to realign you into your very purpose. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Even when you have fallen, there is grace. Like what Pastor Chuck said in the wilderness, when they would rebel against God, manna would still show up. They build a golden calf, but manna would still show up the next day. I mean, if I were God and they build a golden calf, I said, you ain't getting none of my manna. You straighten up, I'll send the manna again. But God didn't do that. His grace is never moved by our shortcomings. Amen? They angered him, but he kept the manna going. Because that's what makes him God. Amen? And that's what makes us wanting to be like him. Amen? Our love's a bit conditional. You do this, I'll do this. You don't do this, I ain't doing nothing. But God's love is unconditional, amen, his calling. When God anointed David, he anointed him for king. Nothing else mattered, amen. So there he is in Ziklag. Now David, I mean, he's got his mojo back now. He has got the spiritual mojo. He done went, and he had discomfited the Amalek. They're spoils of the battle now. And his heart's back. Everything's back in alignment. In one battle, one day, God realigned him. Blessed him hugely. He went from nothing to an abundance in one day, and he was only getting started. Oh, God, shift me. Everybody say, shift me, God. Get me in there. Get me in there. Sometimes you're 3 days away. Say, 3 days away. 3 days away. He's waiting 3 days there in Ziklag, and all of a sudden, boom, he's there. Saul's dead. It looks like the Philistines are going to take over the nation of Israel. David's sitting in Ziklag. He's got half his mojo back. He sends offerings. His heart kicks back in. See, when God starts the restoration, he's going to kick your heart back in. And his heart got kicked back into place. And he got him back in alignment. That's what David was. He was a man of war, but he was a giver. David was an amazing man of generosity. He had a huge heart. That's what God loved about him. God doesn't look at your actions. He looks at your heart more than anything. Amen. He looks at your potential. Amen. So 2 Samuel verse 1. Now David's sitting there. And he says, now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. So he, 1 day slaughter. So we're only in the first day. Okay. Now he's in Ziklag for 2 days. And it came to pass on the third day. So say the third day. Listen, there's a lot that happens on the third day. We are in the third day right now of the church, the third millennial reign. We're in the beginning of that third day. And God is getting ready. Amen. He's getting us ready. The third day. Then behold, a man came. And he's telling him all the things about Saul. And they're telling him about this. Now, if you'll shift over, all this is the third day. And he tells him all the stuff about Saul, what's going on. They're still in that third day. Now, look at 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass after this, that David inquired of the Lord. So now he's back in the union now. See, he's back in to where he's supposed to be. God shifted him back into alignment. He's hearing from God. He's moving with God. And now God's about to do one of the greatest things he's ever done for David and for the nation of Israel and for us, for that matter. Praise God. And so David inquired of the Lord. He said, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? Now, look at that. He wants back into Judah. Isn't that amazing? When your heart gets right with God, you want to get back to where you belong. When your heart's not right, you'll wander out. Now, sometimes Ziklag is a spiritual place. Sometimes we come into a counterfeit place in the spirit. We let go, but boy, when your heart gets right again, you want to get back. See, Judah is where David belonged. He did not belong in the land of Philistines. You can look at the Philistines as the world system. You can look at Judah as the right hand of God. Amen. We got to get back in the union, but now his heart's back in gear. So now he's able to get back in to where he belonged with God. Nothing's ever going to happen until God aligns you. Amen. A lot of times when we're out of alignment, listen, this is very important. A lot of times when we're out of alignment, we're looking for God to move out there. See, he was looking for God to move out there, but how did God get him there? First thing he had to do, he got there through the brokenness. See, the enemies came in, but reshifted, realigned him. Sometimes some of you are in some serious warfare right now. Use that to realign. Amen. Because once God realigns you, you'll get it. You'll get the mojo back. Amen. You'll get the heart back to follow him. And when your heart returns to the right place, now you want to get back into Judah. Ziklag is no more. David did not want to be in Ziklag. He knew that was not my inheritance anyway. See, the flesh will settle in places that God did not design your spirit to be. You have to be where God called you to be. Amen? Well, I know. You know. You just know you're alive when you're where God called you to be. You're alive in what God called you to be. Amen? Now David's coming alive. He's moved back into Judah. He says, now where do I go in Judah? But God had a bigger plan. See, a bigger plan. He's only in the third day, fourth day, 1 day of fighting to capture everything, 3 days in Ziklag. Now he's in his third, he's in his fourth day, and God said, go up. And he said unto him, go up, David. And whither shall I go? He said, Hebron. Oh, say Hebron. He didn't tell him Jerusalem. He said, Hebron. Go to Mount Hebron. There, I'm going to anoint you. And in verse 4, he said, the men of Judah came, and they anointed David king. Right there. In Judah, he made him king of Judah in Mount Hebron. Say Mount Hebron. Now Mount Hebron, as we know, is a very special place. Mount Hebron is where Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Rebekah, Sarah, Leah, all of them died and were buried in Mount Hebron. All their anointings were buried in there. Their legacy was buried in there. Their increase and their promises and everything on that mountain. In fact, that was the mountain when, as you remember, the children of Israel, they came in, and the spies come into the promised land. They sent the 12 spies in, the leaders of the nation, and where'd they go? Mount Hebron. Where were the giants? Mount Hebron. Where was the fruit? Mount Hebron. Where did the fruit come from? God planted that anointing 400 years earlier. The patriarch's anointing was buried in that mountain. It was coming out as fruit. The blessing of God was on that mountain so much it got the attention of the giants. That's where they camped. Hey, we're going to build right here. That was the prized possession of the promised land. There was no greater place than Mount Hebron. The prized possession. The promised land. And that's the one Caleb spent 45 years in faith believing for, that one mountain. He saw it going in. He knew somebody was going to get it. They carried the grapes and staves out of that place. And he had to go because of the disobedience of the nation. Man, that was an injustice. I'm going to tell you, there's no other way to put it. Him and Joshua, they come back with a good report. They were ready to go in, and those other 10 corrupted the entire nation. Never underestimate the corruption. One person's mouth did corrupt. The 10 spies corrupted the entire nation. 10 voices brought unbelief to a whole nation. You better be very careful what voice you listen to. Very careful when you get offended who you're listening to. Very easy to find somebody that will agree with you in your offense. Those 10 corrupted the nation. And Joshua and Caleb, they were clean. They were full of faith. They had to go back for 40 years. Say 40 years. Because what God was doing then, he was doing with a nation. He said, listen, the nation, but these two are going in. But the rest of you are not. But these two and their descendants, they're going in. They had to wait for them to die for 40 years. He's gone into the promised land. They get back in the promised land. And what happened? Caleb. Say, Caleb. He fights with Joshua for 5 years. I mean, they're just tearing it up in the promised land. Oh, man, I'd like to have been there. I wouldn't want to do the wilderness thing, but the promised land, wow. To go in there and see the walls of Jericho. And then Caleb goes, hey, Joshua. You know, you and I were here 45 years ago. And you remember when we went into that mountain? I kind of want that mountain. Give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. I'm 85. I'm 85, Joshua, but the strength that was in me back when I was 40, that same strength is in me now. I may have a cane, but I still got it on me, Joshua. I still got it on me. Okay, I got it on me, Joshua. I got it on me. Give me the mountain, Joshua. Joshua said, you know, and nobody else was asking for that mountain. He said, you know, the giants are still there. We ain't got to that part of it yet. It was the prized possession. He goes, they're bred for me. They're bred for me. The strength that was in me at 40, it's in me now. They're bred for me. And he drove them out. And Caleb inherited the mountain of generational inheritance. Abraham's mountain. See, there's history with that mountain. There was history there. And they drove those giants out. They drove them out to Gath and Ashdod. Remember, the giants were driven out. Now, where did Goliath come from? Gath. Who was Goliath? An original descendant. His ancestors were descendants of the descendants of the promised land. The ones that got drove out of Mount Hebron. That was Goliath's ancestors. And there David was, facing Goliath with the same intimidation that the giants intimidated the 12 with in the nation. That intimidation came over a nation with one giant. But David had another spirit in him, just like Caleb. See, it takes that when you're dealing with spiritual forces. You got to have another spirit. You can't be like everybody else. Caleb was another spirit. David was another spirit. These men were men of faith. That's what qualified them for inheritance. They didn't go with the flow. They were men of faith. They were bold to stand up. But even men of faith like David. I mean, he took Goliath down like that. It was a religious spirit. that caused David so many problems. But even David, you get weak. But God has not forgotten his promises. And God had assigned that mountain to David. He said, David, listen, this mountain is about to give forth a blessing that you were no wise. And David had no idea what was in store for him. I mean, he was backslidden 4 days ago. And now God's 4 days later, he's restored and he's about to be crowned, commissioned. Say commissioned. You don't even know how far away we are from our commission. I mean, people all the time say, you're an apostle. I said, I am an apostle in training. A-I-T. Because until the fullness of the apostolic mantle, listen, I believe true apostles get commissioned directly from the Lord himself. I believe every apostle has the right to see the Lord in an eyewitness encounter. Every apostle of the New Testament saw him. Why should it be different for our day and hour? Amen? It's going to happen. I just preached it last Sunday. It's going to happen. When all those things come online, all the apostolic fruit will hang from the tree. And when it kind of hangs on the tree, you don't have to put Apostle LaRue. They'll already know. Amen? They'll see it. They'll feel it. They'll taste it. It'll have Apostle written all over it. You don't have to go tell everybody your title. You can introduce yourself as LaRue, son of God. All this other stuff, you'll see. It'll be here. Amen? Glory to God. Where was I? Got lost in the apostle stuff. Hallelujah. So David, 4 days. 4 days. Say 4 days. God crowns him in Mount Hebron. The crown of Mount Hebron is the crown of David's house. Never forget that. When you hear about the house of David and the key to the house of David and God restoring the house of David was born in Mount Hebron. The crown of Mount Hebron came upon David. When they crowned him for 3 days, say, now the final 3 days. Isn't that amazing? All that's happened in 7 days. I'm saying that because God is about to do something. You don't know when he turns that. He can shift you in 7 days more than you can shift yourself in 20 years. Amen. God took Joseph in 1 day. Prepared him for 13 years, but in 1 day, took him out of the dungeon to the highest place under Pharaoh. 1 day. 7 days, God shifted 2 kingdoms. He shifted one out and one in. And David was right in the middle. David was in utter unbelief. Backslidden. Now he's king. That's 4 days. And the week is just getting started. Now it's party time. I don't say party time. Because as soon as that crown come upon him, the increase and the multiplication of that mountain started releasing. The increase that was in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob started releasing. And men, for 3 days, they partied. Isn't that amazing? They gone from a backslidden condition, now they're in party time. They brought men. Started coming in from every nation. You can see it on your notes. Those men started coming in. I think, what is it, that First Chronicles 12. Yeah, I listed it there. You can read about it. I mean, they started bringing them in. Every nation. 20,000 from this nation. 50,000 from this nation. 10,000 from this nation. Leaders coming in. I mean, David's looking like, all my life with God, all I could do was 600. That's it. Disgruntled, in debt, and all we did was wander around. Now, I'm sitting in Mount Hebron, I'm king, and God's bringing the whole nation to me. And the increase of that mountain started, that crown caused that release of multiplication. And when it started multiplying, whoo! I know it's kind of many brought men of war, men that would not break rank. Men that had understanding of the times, God's government was born that day. For 3 days, God birthed a brand new government. And he added, he took him, listen, 600 men, the highest he could go. Never, ever, 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 ever look at the numbers. Numbers do not tell the story of what God's doing. Always look at what's going on within. What is heaven doing that you can't see? Because he went from 600, listen to this, 348,000 men in 3 days. Say 3 days. Went from nothing in 1 week, and they were there for 3 days. In 1 week, God took David from a utter place of being backslidden, crowning, all the way now he's got a whole army. And 348,000 men have joined him. God forged a nation, broke the back of one nation, and birthed a new one in 7 days. Say 7 days. That launched the reign of David and Solomon. That anointing kicked in, and it was just, say, la vie. I mean, they started multiplying and increasing, and David building and building and building, all the way to his lifetime at the end when he was given the Psalm, because in my lifetime I have prepared of my abundance. The blessing of God came upon him in ways that he would have never imagined. Listen, God has an imagination far greater than ours. Even David in his wildest dream when he was dreaming about being a king could never have dreamed this one up. God has a dream for you. He'll give you parts and pieces. But his dream is far beyond any of our dreams. And God can shift you. Never look at your storms as the story of your life. Never let your storms make you bitter. Let the storm cause you to come up. Amen. Rise above it. Put your hand on your heart. Say, I'm rising above this. Father, grant me the grace. Because somebody's in a storm today. Father, grant me grace to rise. Grant me grace to come out. Grant me grace. Because I feel in the heavens there is a divine shifting in this season. When this season gets going, I'm telling you, God can do more in a week than you and I can do in years. Years, years, and years. In 1 week, he can shift us. Amen? Don't look at what's seen. Look at the unseen. Look into the realm of faith. The realm of glory. Look at the faithfulness of God. Father, we set our eyes upon you today. We set our eyes for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. What we see in the heavens, what we see in the spirit, for your will to be done. Father, we shift with you. We walk with you. We let go of the past. I saw somebody, you just let go right there in the spirit. You just let go of it. A big old weight just dropped right off of you, or carrying a major burden. You just let go of it. You let go of it.